This week we begin, this Shabbos, right before Shavuos, we begin the Book of Numbers. Book of Numbers, Bamidbar. That is a very, very strange name for a full Sefer of Chumash. Where does the Book of Numbers, that term, come from? Is it purely Christian?
No,
Chumash HaPikudim, right? This comes from Chazal, the Book of Numbers. We list the numbers of the Jewish people, but is that really what the book is about? It's about numbers? I mean, that's not really the theme. How does that really, you know, serve as a theme for an entire book of the Torah? You know, the Netziv and the Sakdama to each of the Sfarim and Chumash tries to give a basic idea of why it's called whatever it's called by Chazal. So it's a worthwhile question to ask, right? It's a worthwhile question to ask why you would call the Sefer of Chumash the Book of Numbers. Rashi teaches us that Hashem counts the Jewish people. Why? To show the love, how precious they are. Now, it's strange that counting would show love. You know, we often give the mashal of counting money, but the reason that counting money is considered a sign of love is because you don't want to lose any money. When we're counting our children, it's because we're taking a trip, trying to avoid the home alone moment. You know, we're like, Kevin, you know, where is he? We do this not to lose them, but it's not like this great expression of love. The love we should have for people and the love we would hope Hashem has for us is more than just not wanting to lose us. You know, like you ask a child, how do you know that mommy loves you? Well, she never lost me. I mean, come on. You hope that there's something more than that to the love. That's why we count our money. So why is the counting of the Jewish people this great expression of the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It doesn't seem to be an expression of love at all. Second of all, Rashi comments that the Torah says the words B'nei Yisrael 5 times when discussing the Pidyon HaLevim. And the 5 times Rashi comments relate to Chamisha Chumshei Torah. So the Chiddush HaRim just asks, how do the numbers of Svarim and Chumash represent the love of the Levim and the Jewish people? That in some way, that's supposed to be representative of the love of the Levim. The Gra finds a remez to Pidyon HaBen in the first words of the Torah. He says the word Bereshis stands for Ben Rishon Achar Shloshim Yom Tifte. Right? Bereshis. Ben Rishon, your first son, Achar Shloshim Yom, after 30 days, Tifte, you should redeem him. A very nice remez. But why would you look for a remez for Pidyon HaBen in the first word in the Torah? Like, you know, you want to start the Torah with something important, like, I don't know, a big bang. You know, the world is created, something. And how does the Gra see the beginning of the Torah? Pidyon HaBen, there's a technical mitzvah that if a baby is not a son of a Levite woman or a Levite man and a Kohen or whatever, and was not a Yotzei Dofen, that you're going to have to give a certain amount of money to a Kohen. Why is that? That's the beginning of the Torah. Another point about Pidyon HaBen, it would seem that Pidyon HaBen would be the paradigmatic example of a mitzvah that's a goal-oriented mitzvah, one that creates a chalos, and therefore can be subject to shlichus, as opposed to a maisa-oriented mitzvah like matzah and tefillin, which you cannot fulfill with a shliach. Yet Rama in Yerodeh and Shinhei quotes the Rivash that you're not allowed to use a shliach for Pidyon HaBen. And that is very odd. Why is this considered a maisa-oriented mitzvah and not a goal-oriented mitzvah, just getting the kid niftes, getting the kid redeemed, which should be subject to shliach? So many, many questions. Again, questions number one, what is it about numbers that is so, you know, endearing, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu counts us and that's therefore so endearing? It would seem that counting is just a way of not losing something. Second of all, the word B'nei Yisrael by Pidyon HaLevim 5 times relates to Chamisha Chum Shei Torah, because the number of Svarim and Chumash represents the special love of the Levim and the Jewish people. What's that all about? And third, why is it that according to the Gra, Pidyon HaBen is so critical that it's already merumas to in the very first word of the Torah, and especially that it's such an exceptional mitzvah that even though it would seem to be the classic example of a mitzvah that can be done through shliach, somehow cannot be done through shliach? Rabbi Tzal Rudinsky Shlita from Mansi answered these questions based on a comment of the Chidushei Harim. Chidushei Harim says that Chamisha Chumshei Torah is unique in that in order for them to have their full Kedusha, they all must be connected to each other. Sefer Navi has the same Kedusha and a full Sefer Nevi'im as a full Sefer Nevi'im, right? If you have a Sefer Yoshua, or an entire scroll of all the Nevi'im, same Kedusha, right? A single Chumash has the same Kedusha as Sefer Navi, right? But a single Chumash does not have the same Kedusha as a Sefer Torah. Sefer Torah, when it has all of the Chumashim together, has this elevated Kedusha. After the Kohuna was taken from the Bechorim, regular people might think, says the Chiddush HaRim, that they're just not that important anymore. So Hashem says that the Kedushas Levim is only mitoch b'nei Yisrael. How do the Levim get their Kedusha? Because they are connected to the rest of b'nei Yisrael. The idea that each Jew is important and the presence of each Jew impacts every other Jew is central to Kabbalah HaTorah. That's true of counting in general. If you count and skip a number, right, then it messes up your entire count. And what happens if you're counting something and you're like, and then someone says, hey, look there, and you're like, oh, what number was I up to? And like you know like roughly what number you're up to, but it's not enough to know roughly what number you're up to. You can't just start from where you think you might have been. It messes up everything if you're even just one off. That's the very definition of counting. If you lose track, you just can't pick up at a random number and still count, because every subsequent number is affected by missing just that one number. That's the chashivus of counting, is that everything becomes significant just by missing that one number. The Zohar said, in a more poetic way, that Yisrael very famously stands for Yesh Shishim Ribo Osios LaTorah, that there are 600,000 letters in the Torah. Of course, only one little problem with that comment. You go and you count the letters of the Torah, not even close to 600,000 letters of the Torah. What's the Zohar trying to say? Yesh Shishim Ribo Osios LaTorah, that in a certain sense, Klal Yisrael is a Sefer Torah. That a Sefer Torah that's Chasar Os Achas is possible. Doesn't have Kedusha, may still have Kedushas Chumash, right? So you have to put it in Genisa or whatever, but it does not have Kedushas Sefer Torah. Perhaps the importance of every Jew was never more evident than in what we celebrated just this past week, Yom Yerushalayim. Last year, I came across a book on my bookshelf. I had no idea where it came from. It was a book written by Rabbi Emanuel Feldman, who was the rabbi in Atlanta, Georgia, for many years. He's the brother of the current Rosh HaYeshiva of Yeshiva Sneri Yisrael, and he's been living in Israel already for many years. He's now the father of the current rabbi in Atlanta, Georgia, Rabbi Ilan Feldman's father. So Rabbi Emanuel Feldman had this amazing memoir of what was going on in 1967, because in 1967 he had already served 15 years in the rabbinate in Atlanta, and he was due for a sabbatical, so he took a sabbatical year in Israel that year. So we happened to have been there when all of this went down, right? When we got back from Makomos HaKadoshim. He happened to have been there. And he describes those very fateful and frightening days and how utterly useless he felt as a visiting American in Israel when every other able-bodied male his age had been called to fight, had gone to the army. He didn't know what to do, so what did he do? He wanted to contribute in whatever way he could. He took his little car and he drove to the post office, and that's the days when mail was the primary method of communication, if you could imagine. I know it's hard for us to imagine such a thing. There was no email, there was no texting, there was WhatsApp, and the only way people communicated with family and friends, people didn't have phones. I remember when I was a child, my aunt and uncle made Aliyah, and when they finally got a phone, a year after making Aliyah, that's how long you had to wait till you get your own phone in your house. And there was no such thing as a cell phone. It was wild. Israel was like a third world country. They didn't have the infrastructure for this. Now it's high tech this, high tech. It wasn't like that. Their only way of communicating was they would write letters and send it to the post, you know, through the post office, and that's it. So he went to the post office with his car, and he had this little tiny car, and he asked, do you need any help? And they said, you know, normally we have 11 trucks, but all of our working trucks were taken to help in the war effort, and we don't have a single working vehicle to deliver the mail. So Feldman, a rabbi of 15 years at that time, a lecturer at Bar Ilan University, became a mailman for a couple of weeks, because that's what the Jewish people needed at the time. They didn't need a rabbi, they didn't need a lecture, they needed a mailman. So he became a mailman. And when facing the terrifying prospect of what seemed like it was very likely to be a second Holocaust, the fear of losing 2.5 million Jews barely 2 decades after losing 6 million. Can you imagine that kind of crippling blow? And every Jew mattered, and every Jew had to chip in to the best of their ability. You really see, like, there are certain points in history where you really see that everybody is important, that there's no one that's expendable. But the more difficult thing to understand is that that's always true. Every Jew always matters. Every Jew is, there's never a Jew that's expendable. It's just not as easy to see it as clearly, except for these rare moments in history. So based on this idea that counting represents the importance of each individual, we can answer all the questions that we began with, and Rabbi Rudinsky answers as follows. Why is there a remez to all 5 svarim in the parsha of Pidyon HaBechorim? Because just as each Chumash that doesn't have Kedusha Sefer Torah without the other 4, each Jew is missing something if he's not connected to all other Jews. The absolute love that Hashem shows the Jewish people is in counting us, because the greatest show of love is when Hashem tells us that if even one of us were missing, it would alter the reality of the entire rest of the nation. That everybody would be different if one of us were missing. Every number after us has changed once we skip a single number. Rabbeinu Yerucham holds, Sfiras HaOmer is Daraisa Bizman Hazeh, when counting Yamin, says Rabbeinu Yerucham. But when counting Sfiras HaShavuos, that's only Midrabanan. So the Rishonim say that such a shita is so unusual, it's Sod Hashem Lireha. Like, oh, how do you make sense of such a shita? That's Sfiras HaYamim versus Sfiras HaShavuos. One should be Daraisa, one should be Drabanan. So the Yerushalayim explains. Gemara Menachos says, Menei Yamim Makadish Atzeres. And then, when discussing bringing the Karban and how you can do Tashlumin for an entire week after Shavuos, it says that when counting Shavuos, the Kedusha of weeks is triggered. So the Yerushalayim explains, Bizman HaMikdash, you need Kedusha Sachag and Kedusha Sakarbanos. So both the Yamim and Shavuos are Daoraisa. However, today we don't have Karbanos, only the counting of the days are Daoraisa. So what emerges is unbelievable, that the counting of the days of the Omer is what is Mekadesh, the Yom Tov of Shavuos. And that's why it's still Daoraisa, according to Rabbeinu Yerucham. We don't pass in this way. It therefore seems that this should have only been a din in Beis Din, because it's all about being Mekadesh Yom Tov. Who's Mekadesh Yom Tov? Beis Din's Mekadesh Yom Tov. That's their job. Who should have been the ones that are responsible to count all of the days of Sfira? Beis Din. That's their job. But that's why the Gemara has to make a special drasha. Usfartim lechem, the Gemara Menacha says, Shetei Sfira lekal echad v'yachad. And no, it's not a din in Beis Din. Each and every one of us has to do Sfira. Not like some of the Nosekelim write on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, that Sfira L'Kal Echad V'Echad means that you can't be Yotzei L'Shomei HaKona. You can be Yotzei L'Shomei HaKona, but it's not a din Beis Din. Each of us has to do it. Why? The reason we need every individual to count is that in order to achieve not just the Kedushas HaChag, but the Kedushas Zman Matan Torah Seinu, to appreciate what the Torah is all about, that requires everybody being included. Pidyon HaBen demonstrates that even after the Egel, and the rest of Klal Yisrael loses the Kedusha and is no longer important since Kohanim now have the Kedusha, Pidyon HaBen teaches that their Kedusha still only comes from us. The entire point of the mitzvah is to demonstrate the importance of each and every member to the Klal. And that's why Pidyon HaBen is hinted to, according to the Gra at least, in the very first word of the Torah. The Yisod of Kabbalah Satorah is the notion that every Jew is part of it, and every Jew is important to Kabbalah Satorah. And that's also why Pidyon HaBen cannot be done through Shlichus. It's important, just like Sfiras HaOmer cannot be done through Shlichus. We call Echad the Echad. Every one of us has to be involved. Even though Pidyon HaBen is the type of mitzvah that ought to have been able to be done through Shlichus, it can't be. Each and every person has to be involved in the mitzvah, because it's representative of the notion that Kedushas Yisrael is only complete when all of Klal Yisrael is together. That's Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar, that not Vayachanu, Vayichan Ki Ish Echad B'Lev Echad, only when we are all together, all working in concert with each other. And that's really the great celebration of Yerushalayim. You know, why is Yerushalayim such a big deal for the Jewish people? Because it's Ki'ir Shechubra LaYachtav. It's a city that is mechaber, the Jewish people. It connects the Jewish people. Right? The Medrash says, where does the name Yerushalayim come from? It's a combination of 2 names. Of, what is it? Yira and Shalem. The Medrash says so. It became Yerushalayim. Even the very name Yerushalayim is not a single name. It's a combination. It's a chibur. That's why there's Yerushalayim Shalmal, Yerushalayim Shalmata. Connects. That brings the Mal and the Mata connects. Connects all people together. That's why Yerushalayim is Lo Neschalka L'Shvatim. There's no chiluk. There's no division in Yerushalayim. It's all about togetherness. And that's what Kabbalah Satorah is all about. It's remarkable that Yom Yerushalayim happens to have happened. It happens to come mamish a week before Shavuos. Right, leading into the last week of Sfira, as we're about to celebrate Kabbalah Satorah. And nothing is coincidence in this world. That's part of the process. That's part of the Geula process. When we recognize that Klal Yisrael comes together, when Klal Yisrael has to come together in order to achieve its full Kedusha, and in order to have the Kedusha Yisrael the way we envision it, with Malchus Beis David, and with an absolute commitment to the Torah, and with all of us coming together in Yerushalayim HaKodesh. Thank you.